In this episode, we're going to talk about the role research plays in making the best business decisions. As my guest today, I have my friend Luke, who is building a few different businesses. He's super smart and has some great insight into how to improve your research skills. Luke, introduce yourself. Why are you awesome?
Well, I appreciate it, and it's great to talk to you again. It's a really good question. Why am I awesome? I think I'm awesome for a number of reasons. I think what I do particularly well is I observe very complex situations, and I can boil them down into very sort of plain and common sense elements, and then turn those really common sense things into bigger visions and, bigger goals and outline plans to get to those bigger goals. But I've been around a long time. I think another thing that makes me awesome is that I've screwed up enough. I've failed enough that now I can take those lessons I've learned from failure and help other people who are newer in entrepreneurship mitigate their risk of failure. So through my mistakes, hopefully other people can learn a lot from me and not make the same mistakes I did. So sure, a lot of reasons I'm awesome, but I would say those are a couple of the main reasons.
Cool. Thank you, Luke. I've definitely learned a lot from you just from all the conversations that we've had together. So I'm excited about having this conversation with you. So let's start with this. Tell me about this company that you're working on.
So as you mentioned, there are a few that I'm working on. The one that's really at the core of my day-to-day is a company that I'm working on developing called Squiddy. So Squiddy is a combination of the word sweat and equity. Essentially, we're a marketplace platform that brings company founders together with contributors to help people build their companies. So we launched a beta about a year ago, and we've gone through a number of iterations, and we've gone through quite a bit of product development and a lot, which is why I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about today. We've done a lot of conversations with the market to really identify what problems exist in the market and how we're going to approach those problems. So, you know, we're building this platform that really is going to be the place for startup founders and early stage companies to get the help that they need without having a lot of barriers. And so our competitors oftentimes will focus on the tasks. So if you think about Upwork, which is certainly an interesting platform, Upwork typically looks at a task-centric approach. So you want somebody to do a website for you or do a thing for you. Typically, the relationship is centered just around that task. And where we're trying to focus is the relationship between the company and the contributor. So if you're a contributor and you see a company you like and you want to help that company, you're a fan of that company, we want to help facilitate ways for you to help those companies that you want to support. So that's really what it's all about. So we're super excited about the future and the disruption we're going to cause in the marketplace for freelancers and also generally just startups being able to be in a position to be in a better chance for success and mitigate that risk of failure. And like it points back to some of the things that I think I'm really good at or why I'm awesome is helping companies mitigate their risk. So by creating a platform that facilitates these relationships, by creating a platform that has data-driven AI, machine learning, so that we can create a recommendation engine for startups to really understand what they should be doing next for where they are in their journey. So there's a lot involved with Squiddy, but yeah, that's the main thing that I'm working on right now.
Yeah, I really love that idea as far as just helping people build companies. There's just so much tied up in this idea of growing something. Right. Kind of like the biggest lie that capitalism has sold us is to be happy. You need an amazing job and, you know, work 9 to 5 and be a good little boy. And then when you retire, then you'll be happy. Right. But until then, you know, slave away and, you know, work for the man. And I think once yeah. you do that for long enough, you tell yourself, hey, I'm not happy. This isn't the life. Right. This is a dream that was promised to me. And really, like, right. redemption is creating a business, like creating an idea mm-hmm. where you don't necessarily have to exchange your time for money for the rest of your life. That's exciting.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is kind of a follow-up question. Yeah. And mm-hmm. it's kind of asking more specifically with this company that you're building, what is the most exciting mm-hmm. aspect of this company for you?
Oh, for me, it's talking to founders. It's talking yeah. to startup founders who have an idea that they want to bring to life. You know, I have every day, I have multiple conversations with founders. I just love to get to know them, what they're working on, where they're coming from, what unique challenges they face. And it's just super exciting because at that phase for somebody, just to see that glimmer in their eye and all the excitement yeah. and enthusiasm and passion they have for the idea. It's refreshing, and it's just really a beautiful thing to see people who are stepping outside of, you know, 9 to 5 or a corporate thing.
Right.
Even if it's only on the side, it's just really refreshing, and it's motivating for me to hear stories from founders, and because of the work that I do, I get to hear that all the time, and it's super exciting.
Yeah, that is really cool. Talking to people that are passionate about what they do is really fun. I agree with you. Okay, so tell me about the research that you've done as you've built this company. Like, mm-hmm. what types of things have you focused on? I heard you say, I've talked with a lot of the founders and customers. Is research mm-hmm. for you sitting down and having conversations, or are you Google searching? What other types of research are you doing mm-hmm. for this company and building this company?
So most of the research that I've done is conversation. A few surveys, a few polls, mm-hmm. Some research, more of an educational research. So I took a lot of time to research like what some of the classes from Y Combinator, and I did a lot of research mm-hmm. on determining how we were going to build our MVP. So looking at different no-code options, certainly researching things mm-hmm. like what's going to be our best corporate structure, researching things like you know, what are the best ways to bring in a technical co-founder. So there's certainly a lot of educational mm-hmm. type research, but for pre-launch, when the idea was early, the first thing I did was I went to probably 20 or 30 friends of mine who are target market for me, meaning they're basically startup founders. So having a handful of conversations just to mm-hmm. practice telling people what it is that I'm trying to build and getting their initial feedback.
Right.
And anytime, like when you start with feedback from people that like you, you know, you can only take it with a grain of salt, but you start to hear what people think about what you're trying to build, even if it's, you know, all friendly and nice
yeah.
stuff, still, because, you know, you get a lot, there's a lot of value when you position your company or your product or your business to somebody, when you hear them repeat it back and they get it. That's a really mm-hmm. good indication that you're building something that is easy to understand. So once I did the first initial validation of, okay, yeah, this makes sense. The people that I know, like, and trust agree that this sort of makes sense. So then I set out to do some surveys on LinkedIn. So I've got a relatively large LinkedIn following, around, I don't know, 30,000 or something like that. So I would put out some awesome. Surveys that talked about things like, you know, what do you think about sweat equity? Would you ever work for an organization that only offered you equity and didn't offer pay? Or would you be open to the idea? So I asked a series of questions on these surveys that just talked about, you know, either openness and familiarity. We also had some models on blockchain, so getting people's feedback on blockchain. getting feedback on, you know, if we wanted to tokenize the have a utility token. So there, right. there was a lot of research early on that was sort of mass research through these surveys. And then once we landed on, all right, here are the core features that we want to bring in, then I started to find people that hated the idea. So I went back to those surveys that I did on LinkedIn, and I found the people who were the most vocally against any of the concepts within the company. And I dug in to find out, okay, what don't you like about it? Like, is it because you see this other places? Is it because, like, what are the reasons you don't like it? So I think a trap for a lot of people is to fall into having follow-up conversations with people that like what you're doing. I find that it's much more effective to have conversations with people that hate what you're doing. But you'll get to the truth. So then I talked to some of the people that didn't like what I was doing. And along the way, this is my opinion, but along the way, treating feedback as just simple data points. A lot of times where I think founders sort of mess up is that they'll get a piece of feedback from somebody and they'll make a change, or they'll change course slightly, or they'll, you know, think about a new feature that needs to be added because one person gave them feedback about that feature or gave them a suggestion. And to me, it's just, you're just collecting data points. And once you start to identify a trend, then you adjust potentially. So then we got to a place where we knew what we wanted to build. So we set out to build a really rough MVP. So I built a no code MVP using Bubble. So then I invited about 50 or so people just to join. So then my next research was more about observing behavior on the platform. So, you know, we had a lot of mechanisms in place to track what people were doing, where they were clicking, how long they were on the site, and all these other things. So we started to assess how people were actually using the platform. So people talked about using it one way, and we found that they use it in a much different way. So observing, you know, user behavior and customer feedback was really important. And then sort of the last phase of research for us was to then have interviews with our users. So going out to our active users and just talking about their experience, what would they like to see, what would happen if we didn't exist anymore, how would that affect their business, how would that affect their lives. So just a lot of conversations. So, you know, I think there's a lot of value in surveying to get a lot of feedback that really helps to validate assumptions or to potentially avoid some risk by taking a flawed product to market. So mass surveys, but then combining that with conversations with people who are going to buy the product was super important for me.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, what you just explained sounds like an extremely manual process as far as just asking deep and meaningful questions to the people that are actually either using the product or thinking about the product. That's really interesting. So when you make business decisions, who do you ask before pulling the trigger? Do you sit down on your own and just think, and it's like you determine A or B? Do you have a mentor that you're like, hey, I'm thinking about A and B, what would you do type of scenario? How do you usually make critical business decisions?
So, great question. I do a couple things. I don't have very many impromptu big decisions that are made. Most of the time decisions come in quarterly planning. So typically I'll look, you know, a year ahead, a few years ahead, but primarily what's going to happen in the next quarter and what do I anticipate that I'll need to address in the next quarter? What problems do I, assume are going to arise over the next quarter, and then put together plans to address, those decisions that will need to happen through the quarter. But I also implement what a friend of mine, suggested a long time ago, which is creating a personal board of directors. So having a group of people that, you know, I can reach out to just as like a sanity check, like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this thing. You know, what am I missing? Or what would you do if you were faced with this problem? And just getting, you know, other eyes and ears and thoughts before I make significant decisions. So, you know, I try to be as proactive as possible through quarterly planning and goal setting and really having an eye into the future. But things come up, and you know, it's important to have a person or people that you can just bounce ideas off of. And I haven't always been that way. I navigated a lot of my career without really even understanding what a mentor would do or could do. I thought about it not until, I was pretty far along in my career before I recognized that, you know what, I don't need to do this by myself. I can surround myself with people who are smarter than me and who have done this before, so I don't need to operate on my own. I really should tap in to people. And what I learned really quickly was that when I put myself out there and asked for help, people came running to try to help, because especially in entrepreneurship, people really enjoy helping each other. So I made the mistake of waiting way too long before I brought people in to help me with my business and just my decisions in general.
I love what you said about having a personal board of directors. That almost sounds like a product that's waiting to be made. managing your own personal board of directors. Oh my goodness. I'm working on too many ideas to start.
I like that.
But I wrote that down because I love that idea so much. Like, how do you make that easy, and how do you qualify somebody? And it's almost like giving them a piece of your business if they agree to being on your board of directors. So they're invested into you. So they want to give you the best possible advice. Okay. I'm going to ask this next question though, because it's a great one. Do you ever hire professional help in market research or pay for any type of deeper knowledge on a particular topic?
So professional help in market research, I have not. I like to do those conversations. I like to have those conversations. So it's such a critical piece for me, for that conversation piece. And in hindsight, I should have and really wish I would have brought help in to help keep it organized, to make it more efficient, to maybe document better. Because as you said, like, it was a super manual process for me and it was tedious. I enjoyed the conversations, but there's so much that goes along with that that I probably should have brought some help in for that. And then paying for a deeper knowledge
like
about
imagine,
a topic.
Imagine like,
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, imagine if you actually recorded every single one of those conversations and had somebody like take detailed notes about their answers. Yeah. Like, how insanely awesome would all of that information be as far as like building your business?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'm sorry. I interrupted great you. Example. I'll pass it back to you.
Yeah. That's a great example.
I'll just go to the next question.
Okay, cool.
What type of professional help did you hire out? So you mentioned when you were building the product, you built it on a no-code platform. Did you learn how to use the platform yourself? Did you hire that out? What other pieces of this did you hire out other than like the pieces that you worked on personally?
Mm-hmm. So the only piece that we hired out, with the exception of some equity trade. So we traded some people for equity for some QA type roles and some UI UX stuff. So we did a little bit of that, but we found really good partners who liked what we're doing enough that they offered to help us in exchange for equity, which really did help us prove out the concept for Squiddy. So that was sort of drinking our own champagne. The only positions that we have hired out just for dev. So our CTO, our technical co-founder, does write code, but he is really strong in DevOps. So he put together a dev team. So all of our dev is outsourced, contractors, offshore. Okay. So our dev team is all Philippines. And as we scale, there'll certainly be positions that we hire out. But for now, we're back to focusing on dev. And just to clarify, that may have sounded confusing to listeners. But so I built the no code version of our MVP really just to understand customer behavior and to start to look at what we want our features to look like on the app. But while we were doing that, and still what's happening today is having our developers code out the full version of the platform. So while I built the no-code version just to have something out there in market, our dev team is building out our fully coded product, and we hired all those folks.
Awesome. Okay, last question. What have been your go-to tools for doing and storing all of this research that you've mm-hmm. done throughout this process? Like, obviously, Google is one of them.
Sure, Google. I use CRM. I use HubSpot CRM. Certainly a lot of CRMs available, but HubSpot is one that I prefer. I think I could have done a better job of capturing some of the voice of the market, and doing a better job of putting data around what I was hearing and to establish trends. A lot of what I did ended up being sort of anecdotal summaries that more of observed trends and data-driven trends. So in hindsight, I could have done a much better job, but I use HubSpot CRM just to track the people that I've talked to, what they said, put my notes in there, have my tasks for the next steps, those types of things. So Google and HubSpot.
Cool. Well, Luke, I really appreciate your time. Thank you for just sharing all of that with me and the audience.
For sure.
It was really interesting just seeing how this product has developed. Talking about this even more with you makes me want to go kind of explore this product even more. I think you're really onto something. And just this idea of connecting people to build businesses seems like, really valuable and is going to really change people's lives. And that's really exciting.
Awesome. I appreciate you saying that. This has been a pleasure. I appreciate your time, and this is great.